Big old group of ducks comes over. He gets two shots off, kills the duck. Unfortunately, the duck goes on the other side of the fence. And he's thinking to himself, man, I just drove all the way from Illinois to go duck hunting, and this duck falls on the other side of the fence. Surely nobody will care. And so he jumps the fence, and he's walking toward the duck when this Wisconsin farmer's driving this tractor. And he kind of looks over at him. He's like, oh, great. You know, and the guy's got a look on his face, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Turns the tractor off. He goes, oh, man, I shot a duck. I killed it, but it fell over onto your land. I just thought I'd come get it. And he goes, no, get back on your own side. You're not allowed to come on my property. I don't appreciate that at all. The guy kind of was like, but it was my first duck. You know, I really wanted that duck. He's like, no, get on your side of the fence. He goes, just get over there. And he's like, you know where I come from? He goes, I'll get my lawyer. I've got several friends that are lawyers. I got two friends that are lawyers. I'm going to sue you and make sure that I get my duck back. And the Wisconsin farmer goes, well, you know where I come from? We don't do lawyers. We do the three-kick rule. He said, the three-kick rule? He goes, yeah. He goes, we sell our differences here. He goes, I get to kick you three times as hard as I want to. You come back, kick me three times. I'll come back and kick you and back and forth until somebody says, I give up. Okay? And so the guy's thinking, well, man, he's CJ size. He's a big guy. He's like, I bet I can take this old farmer. I'm younger, more athletic, and stronger. He's like, all right, you're on. Farmer gets down off the truck. He's got steel toe boots on. He walks up. Before the guy can hardly even move, he just goes, wham! And he kicks him right in the shin. And the guy just goes, poof! You know, just falls over, writhing in pain. Kicks him right in the stomach. Oh, you know, loses all of his air. Kicks him in the ribs. You hear a crack. He's laying there. And he's like, he stands up. He goes, all right, you old codger, now it's my turn. He goes, I give up. You can have the duck. All right? Sometimes. Sometimes. You know, there's wisdom, is there? There's wisdom in some old folks. And we've got some older folks here. And I appreciate that. You know, James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you anytime you want it. Just ask. Just ask. So I pray every day for wisdom. That's something that I want. I want to have wisdom even when I'm around, especially when I'm around Wisconsin farmers, right? You know, you want that wisdom. But one of my favorite things is to be around people. I love being around people. I love to see what their talents and gifts are. You know, some of us are gabbers. We just talk. And people say, man, you talk a lot. And I said, wow, you ever be around my mom? I don't talk at all. She does all the talking. If you can believe that, right, Dad? Dad just nod. Yeah, yeah, she talks a lot. All right. So glad my sister and my folks are here. So many good folks. But I love to be around. Some people are funny. Some people are encouraging. Sometimes people just need encouragement. I love to be around people that need encouragement because I like to encourage. I think it's a good thing. Some people are deep. Some are shallow. Everybody's different, right? We have all these personalities, and they're just like bowling balls, all right? I said I would do an illustration with bowling balls. They are. All of these bowling balls are different, okay? Although they're the same, I mean, they're pretty much the same in diameter, circumference, you know? They all have kind of the same, more or less, look because they're round. You know, if you look at a bowling ball, most everybody knows what it is. You know, you don't have people going trying to kick it and say, I'm going to play soccer. You know, it doesn't work that way. But we're going to get to these in a minute. But just like bowling balls, people have differences and personalities. And it's only when you have somebody that's smart and somebody that knows a little bit about bowling that they can customize and make that bowling ball fit for the purpose that it was intended to do. Okay? And we'll talk about that. Like I said, we'll talk about that here in a second. So I want to set up our text. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, that's what we're going to be reading. To kind of get an idea of why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was kind of messed up. That would be the easiest way to say it. They had a lot of problems, all right? And I know we have every church that we go to, there's something, you know, that we experience regardless of where we go. There's just sometimes there's problems. But Corinth had a lot of problems. There was division and arguments and lawsuits and immorality. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, it tells us that they were jealous and they divided amongst themselves. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 2 speaks of their sin of pride. They were very prideful, arrogant. 1 Corinthians 9 tells of the church's tendency to talk about Paul, backbiting his ministry, saying things about, you know, the things that he was trying to accomplish. 1 Corinthians 11 tells of potluck dinners. And by the way, we're having a potluck dinner afterward. All right. And everyone's invited. Even if you didn't bring anything, we'd love for you to. I hope you'll stay and eat because I know there's a lot of food. But 1 Corinthians 11 tells of these potluck dinners where they're turning into spiritual food fights. Okay. I mean, just struggles. Just all these things are going on. There was confusion about marriage, food, sacrifice to idols, worship, the Lord's Supper, the resurrection, giving, and then spiritual gifts. All of these things are all taking place at this church. All this different stuff is happening, right? And when Paul wrote this letter to the church, he specifically confronted these issues, all right? And so the passage that we'll read here in just a little bit, all right, is one of those issues that they were dealing with. Now, if we had lived in Corinth, this is something to think about. If we had lived in Corinth, would we have gone to that church? You got to really think about that for a second. If I lived in Corinth, would I have wanted to go to this messy, unhealthy, mixed up, troublesome church? You know, probably not. You know, and we have lots of options, do we not, nowadays? So we go at the first sign of trouble. We go, we're done. We're going to go find another place. Well, I hate to tell you, pretty much wherever you go, you're going to have some problems and difficulties. It's how we handle those problems and difficulties that Paul is trying to get to this particular church. Now, not only is the church kind of messed up with the problems they're having, but if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, all right, Paul has just finished talking about these lawsuits, all right? I think that's coming up for us. Evan, thank you again for doing that. He's just talked about these lawsuits. They were actually suing one another. You know, if I didn't like what Lisa was doing, I'm like, I'm suing you, you know? And it's like, what, Tim? What, really? I'm going to take you to court, you know? Kind of like that Chicago guy. I think we should instill, hey, how about that? How about open door, instill the three kick rule? Right? There you go. You want to go first? Renee goes, I'm first, all right? So we're not going to settle that through a lawsuit. They're supposed to be selling it through love. But listen to what Paul is saying right here. He says, don't you know that those doing such things, the suing and bickering and arguing, have no share in the kingdom of God? All right? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers and adulterers and homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people or drunkards or slanderers or robbers. Right? That's a pretty good list. And he's kind of getting on to him about. But this is what's cool. Verse 11. There was a time that when some of you were just like that. Okay? But now your sins are washed away and you're set apart for God. He's accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you. So these folks were in trouble, yet because of Jesus and his love, because of his grace, he fixed it. Right? He's like, some of you guys were involved. You know what? I'm sure there's folks in here standing on stage. It's sinful. We got sin in our lives. Okay? And we rebelled against God. And maybe we still do rebel against God. But the point is that we have a Savior, right? That's taking care of all that. We don't have to worry about it anymore. All right? What we do is we strive to do what's right in God's eyes. So lots of history at the Corinthian church. Now, I'm a numbers guy. Those of you that know me very well know I love numbers. All right, so here's what's cool. There are two letters written to the church at Corinth. All right, two letters, two long letters, 437 verses in 1 Corinthians and 257 verses in 2 Corinthians. So 694 verses. All right, now if you get your Bible out, you can look at maybe, you know, Titus and see it on one page. But Corinthians is like 10, 15, 20 pages of verses. The only other church to receive two letters was Thessalonica, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 136 verses. Timothy received two letters from Paul, 136 verses. 1 and 2 Peter had 166 verses. 1, 2, and 3 John, 133 verses. You say, well, Mike, what's the big deal? Well, all those books have 631 verses, and yet 1 and 2 Corinthians has 694. All right? Do you think the Corinthians needed some instruction? You think they needed some love? You know, Paul was just constantly going, oh, you got this problem and that problem. But you know what? He never gave up on them. He just kept working with them because he loved them. All right? And God doesn't give up on churches. He doesn't give up on individuals because he loves us. All right? He wants us to figure this thing called life out. Okay? Open Door, where we do life together. Right? Isn't it tough? Isn't life tough? Would you like to do life by yourself? I don't. I mean, I want some friendships. I want some wisdom. I want some laughter. I want people in my life that are going to support and strengthen and encourage me, because life is tough. And so what we've decided at Open Door is that we're going to do life together. All right, we're going to figure it out. We're going to go through the ups and the downs together, and we're going to make it on the other side. So you say, well, what's the big deal about all these verses? Well, I look at it like Paul went to great lengths to reach out to the Corinthians. They're ill-behaved, struggling, and unhealthy. But again, he wants what's best for them, and so does God. I mean, to me, that's awesome. And that's what we get to experience every day as well. So, and we know true this, that God continues to bless them because the Holy Spirit continues to pour out gifts to them. You thought about that? That with all their struggles, all the things that are going on, the Holy Spirit's still giving them stuff and giving them gifts to help each other out. He gives the gift of encouragement. You know, he gives the gift of giving. He gives these gifts to this people. You know, think about this. Have you ever had a child do something wrong? Anybody in here have kids that had a child doing something wrong? Yeah? Yeah. My mom and dad. You know? Yeah, that's right. Not Ann. She was perfect. But me, yes, I had problems. All right? But do you want to give gifts to them when they're struggling? Do you want to give gifts to them when they're misbehaving? Do you want to? But yet God does. God continues to give them gifts. Okay? Because he knows the gifts that he's giving are gifts that are going to help them get to where they want to go. Because they want to get to heaven. And so do we. So, 1 Corinthians 12, all right, is where we're fixing to be if you haven't got there yet. So God continues to bless them, watches out for them, loves them, and helps them along their journey. And here's the best part. He does that for us too. You know, I know, because I can read my Bible and you can read your Bible anytime you want to. The instructions are there. Okay, the encouragement is there. And we have each other to be encouraged by. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, this is the Living Bible version. I just like it better the way it speaks. All right, so read with me. Talking about our body. We good? Oh, perfect. Okay, our bodies. Is that the right one? Oh, there you go. Thank you, Evan. Evan's so good. Our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they're all put together. All right? So we got all of us, but one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. Let's take that and move it into 2015. All right? Some of us are male, some of us are female, some of us are old, some of us are young, some of us are funny, some of us are not so funny. Okay? Some of us are encouraging. Some of us are not so encouraging. Some of us are more needy than others. Some of us are more giving than others. Some of us need more encouragement all the time. Or some of us are encouragers. I mean, keep filling that in. Some are, some are, some are, some are. All of us have come from different backgrounds and from different lives and are in different places. Okay? So we're all different, just like they were. But here's what he says. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into this one body. We've been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. Okay, now I get to be the mouth right now, right? I'm getting to be the mouth. But is my part more important than your part? You know, we had folks back there fixing food. Renee's been decorating and doing her thing. And we have people fixing coffee. We have people in the back taking care of kids. It's a group effort, is it not? And no one's more important than anyone else. But that's what the Corinthians were having a problem with. They were elevating some of their members and saying, these guys are more important than these guys. And Paul says, no, that is not the way it works. Okay? So yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye? No, God gave you and gifted you what you need to be a part of this body. Would that make it any less a part of the body? No. Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body was just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. Is there a cartoon that just has a big thumb somehow? one body part? Would that not be a strange being to see? So he has made many parts, but still there's only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And I love this last part, verse 22. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Okay? I hear it all the time. I listen to people when they say, I mean, even our bowling, in bowling, we bowl on leagues. There's five people on the team or four people, three people. And somebody will say, well, I'm the weakest person on this team. Or, I put me in the middle because I'm not very good. Or I hope that I'm going to do it. That's not what a team does, right? Aaron and I, we bowl together. He bowls good sometimes. I bowl bad. I bowl good. He bowls. Sometimes we both bowl good and both bowl bad. Like, the other night, we both bowl bad. We actually shot the exact same score. Did you realize that? And so, but it's a team, right? It's a team effort. Just like, bowling is a team effort. And sometimes I use that ball, and there's sometimes when I use that ball and this ball. Not one of those is more important than the other, okay? It just depends on the circumstances and what they were created by my friend Phil back there to do, okay? And we're talking about, like I said, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. So Paul expects them, the Corinthians, as well as us, to realize this is Christ's body, okay? Not ours, okay? It's not our body. It's his body. He's the head, and we're the body. And so we need to do our part. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. So God's in us, and we're doing his purposes, all right? So the Corinthians elevated certain people, lowered others. And Paul says, hey, you know what? Let's talk average here, all right? We want to talk average? Yeah. We shoot big scores in bowling. We shoot little scores in bowling. What's your average? Well, we're going to talk average. How's everybody going to help this body do everything it can do? So he challenges them, Paul challenges them and us to remember each and every member is important to the body, okay? Because it's where we do life together. All of us do life together. All of us encourage one another, okay? So he customizes. Now, I brought different bowling balls for a reason, okay? Some of you don't bowl, but I know a bunch of my bowling friends are here, and so I wanted to make sure that I don't talk over your head, but my bowling friends are going to get most of this stuff, okay? This ball right here reminds me, if you smell it, it's a rubber ball, okay? They don't make rubber balls anymore. This ball is 40-something years old. Phil is actually going to throw it away. Do you remember when you brought this to me? Phil was like, hey, check this ball out. And I went, is that an LT-48? You know? And he's like, yeah. And I went, whoa. And I remember, that's cool. Now, you don't know that, but if you don't know it, LT-48, Brunswick. And it says TM on it. And one day I was sitting there thinking, TM? What does TM stand for? Earl, you remember what you said? To Mike. Right? That's right. I was like, you're good. I didn't even think about that. But this, you can see where the hole used to be, and they fixed it. So now it fits my hand. Okay? It fits my hand. I love this bowling ball. You can't throw it very much anymore. Not because it's old, because it just doesn't hook very much. But I've shot some pretty good scores with this ball. Okay? But it has to be for the right place in the right time. Okay? And so we'll talk a little bit more. I'm going to get back there. Okay? But here's the points I want us to think about. When these balls were designed and created, and I really want you to answer out loud, what was the purpose of the design and creation of these bowling balls? To hook and strike. Thank you very much. You know, it's my bowling friends all answered. Everybody else was like, what are you talking about? Purpose. Is it not the goal? Is it not the goal of the bowling ball to knock the pins down? I mean, every time I get on the approach to throw a bowling ball, my goal is to get 10 pins down and throw 12 strikes in a row and be perfect. Okay? I want to be perfect. Am I perfect? No, or I would be averaging 300. If I was averaging 300, we'd probably have 500 people in here because all the bowlers are like, oh, great basket. You know? They'd be like, oh, we're gonna definitely hang out with this guy because he's doing it. But we're not perfect. But we're trying to do everything, right? Because that was the intention of the creator of the bowling balls. Brunswick, Motive, Columbia, Storm, Rotogrip, they're all companies that make bowling balls, okay? And they'll all brag that their ball's better than the rest of them, kind of like the Corinthians. Ours better. It's better. But the intention of the bowling ball is for it to strike. And what's neat is, a lot of you guys don't know this, but on the inside of a bowling ball is a weight block, okay? And some of them are big and oblong, and some of them more flat. Some of them look like hand grenades. Some of them have this sophisticated, cool stuff. And I could get David up here, or I could get Micah up here, or I could get Philip here, and they could explain it way better than me. Okay? But what's on the inside of that bowling ball, then you punch these holes in them, and depending on how you punch the hole, it'll tell the bowling ball what to do. You can make the ball go really long and hook, and you can make it hook at your feet. You can do all kinds of cool stuff with a bowling ball. But it takes somebody that's smarter than me, somebody that knows enough about bowling balls, to help guide that bowling ball to do what it's intended to do. And if you do it right, if you drill it just right, and you throw it and you start striking, like, oh, this is a good bowling ball drill right here. And you pat them on the back, boy, you're good. You know, and then you throw it and you don't strike, and you're like, you are not good. Yeah, that was not a good drill. Okay? But my point is this, okay? They made these to strike, okay? And then somebody else comes in and helps design them. Now, this one to me is kind of cool, all right? It's the only, by the way, that I haven't shot a 300 or 800 series with. Pretty cool. I didn't bring my baby, my special ball, because I figured I would break down and cry, because it's my special ball. But this one's unique. Do you know why? Yeah, there's no holes in it, okay? Karen and I went to a bowling banquet years ago, and this is an original white dot, which doesn't mean a lot to you guys. It means something to my bowling friends. It's 12 pounds. It's brand new. It's 21 years old, okay? And I saved it because I thought eventually one of the boys would get into bowling and they might want to have an original white dot and we'd drill it up. And then when they started bowling a little bit and I realized they're probably not going to get into it, I didn't want to waste it. Like, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not gonna, yeah, they, I mean, they're good. They know what they're doing. But I'm like, man, this is, but let me tell you something. This ball is not doing what it was intended to do. It wasn't intended to be on a shelf. It wasn't intended to be on a table at Open Door. It wasn't intended to be in a shelf at my house. It wasn't intended to be landscape material, okay? Because Earl's got balls all around their garden. They're like bricks, you know? I love that. That was just the coolest thing. I was like, man, you got more bowling balls than me, you know? And so, but it's not fulfilling its purpose. And that's what, you know, God intended us to do, is to fulfill our purpose. And you say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, you have a different gift. I don't know what your purpose is, but the more time we spend with one another, you have a gift that I don't have. I can promise you that because the Bible is clear that we have all of these gifts, and he didn't say you're an eye and an ear and a nose and a mouth and a hand and a foot and a leg. And he's like, I didn't make one person to be the body. I made many people to be the body. And he intended for us, just like these manufacturers, to be perfect, to do the best you can. Not that we are perfect, but we try. We strive. That's what we're trying to do each and every day. I think it's amazing, okay? I think it's amazing how they're designed and created and manufactured like we're designed and manufactured and created to do amazing things for God. It's amazing to me. In chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, right before what we had just read was up there, it says this: now God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it's the same Holy Spirit who's the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but it's the same Lord that we're serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, and everyone's different in the way he works, but it's the same God who does the work in us and through us who are his. So I love that he says it's different abilities, same Holy Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different ways God works, same God. Same Spirit, same Jesus, same God. All right? Who does all of this work in us and changes us and helps us do things. All right? But just like there's different bowling balls, there's different bowlers. Okay? There's left-handed bowlers, the gifted and special of God. Okay? All right? Pat almost fell out of his chair laughing. Yeah, that's right. Like, whatever. All right. But we're there's left-handed, there's right-handed. Some of us throw it straighter. Some of us hook it more. Strokers, tweeners, twists it. We have styles and speed and different approaches and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Different, right? Different, but all still trying to do the same thing. Still trying to throw strikes. And I think when we do life together, we come together with a common goal. Is it not our goal to someday get to heaven? to reach that perfection. Isn't that so exciting to think about? That, you know, and somebody says, will they have bowling alleys in heaven? I have no idea. I won't want to bowl Jesus. We'll lose. Strike. And he'll be left-handed. Yeah. He will be. Just saying. It's pretty. I'm pretty sure. Right, Macaulay? He's left-handed. All right. So it's just. But it's just, I don't know. The goal is different. Now, I've said this 1,000 times. Okay. I've said this 1,000 times. Until we get to heaven, this is home. This is home. And so let's encourage each other all the more as we see a time when we're going to do. Again, I keep pointing. I love that how the ladies put that together right there. It's where we do life together. I mean, we're trying to. Now, the bowling alley and the church building are not much different. Okay. I'm especially today because we're bowling. But it's interesting to me that as I started bowling all the time, league, you think about league for a second. We all come together at the same appointed time. We spend basically an appointed amount of money. We hang out with most of the friends that we hang out with, and we talk bowling, okay? And we whine and complain to one another. Bowlers are the biggest whiners in the world, okay? Says the wife of a bowler, all right? Karen knows. She'll just sit there, oh, yeah, sorry. You know, I complain. Do we not? We complain. But you know what? We expect for the person that we're talking to go, oh man, I know, man, I'm sorry. You know, I wish I could fix that for you. Maybe you need a new bowling ball, right? And get another one. Phil, fix it. Make it happen. All right. But we go to the same place. But the only difference at church is we have an appointed time we come together. We usually donate a certain amount of money. All right. We hang out with our friends and we talk about God, not bowling, but God. Or today we talk about both. All right. Right, but it's interesting to me. You've got guys that go play golf with the same group, and that's what they do. And when they get together, they talk about golf, you know, and just fill in the blank. We do that. So church for us is family, right? And we have a bowling family. I'm overwhelmed. I love my bowling family, and I love when we get together and we talk and we hang out. And it's great whenever I'm struggling with something in life to go to my Christian bowling friends and say, man, bowling's nothing right now. I'm struggling with this, and they help me, and we talk it out, and we go on trips, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So we share our lives in so many different ways, so we need each other. And this is a place where we find help, and we find healing, and we find hope, okay? I mean, I go to the bowling alley, and I'm going to find a way to strike better. I'm going to get some advice, but here's a place where we find help, healing, and hope, okay? We've been gifted differently. We act differently. We serve differently. Okay? Just like that right there. All different, but with the same goal and the same purpose. The question is, will you use your gifts and talents and abilities for God? Some of you have been gifted in such ways. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing to see. And it's like, use those for God. I made a pact with God years ago. Hey, if you'll just let me bowl and enjoy it, I'll be a servant of yours all the time. People say, why don't you go on tour? You know, it's like, I did that for a little while. But the reality is, there's so much more to life than bowling. Sorry, bowling friends. I repent. Okay, but there is. There's just so much more. But yet, we get to bowl and we get to develop relationships. And that's just so cool that we get to share both of those together. 20 years ago, and I'm going to conclude with this story. So when you hear the word conclude, it means, yay, it's about time to go eat. 20 years ago, when Saddleback Church in Southern California had grown to approximately 500 people, okay, they had grown to about 500 people. That church is over 20,000 now, okay? But when they got to 500 people, Rick Warren was the senior minister there. He wrote the book Purpose Driven Life, really cool book. He wrote other books too, but that one is especially cool. He said this to his people. He said, folks, I'm out of energy, and the church is getting so big that I can't do much more. As I read my Bible, he said to them, it doesn't say I'm supposed to do it all anyway. So I'll make you a deal. If you'll do the ministry God's gifted you to do, then I'll do my part, which is to make sure you're constantly well fed with the Word of God. Okay? And Warren said that they kind of shook hands on it and made this pact. So let me ask you a question today. Can we make the same deal? Terms and conditions, right? Here's the terms and conditions. Karen and I will serve faithfully in our areas of giftedness, okay? And our responsibilities, if you'll do the same, okay? Will you use your gifts and your talents the way we're going to try and use our gifts and talents? And don't expect us to serve in where we're not gifted, because he puts you in those places. That's where your gifts are. And you can do that part. You know, if you asked me to decorate the youth room, there'd be bowling balls and bowling plaques all over it. And it would be boring. I'm telling you, it would be a pretty boring place. But Renee's got an incredible gift. I mean, and she used it. I mean, just amazing, okay? So here's an exciting... Oh, can we shake on it? You use your gifts. I'll use my gifts. Yeah, and we'll work together and do life together. And here's an exciting truth in spending time with the three elders of this congregation. You have permission to use your gifts and to minister at this church. You have permission. Whatever you want to do, you have permission, because we want to do life together. All right. According to my Bible, we're saved in order to serve. That's what I read. So you're needed in this church body. I know we got lots of visitors. It's not a pitch. You know, leave your church and come back here. I'm so excited you're here. But if you're looking for a church home, you found a great place to do life together. All right. God has gifted you, and now he wants to use you. So don't allow yourself to think you don't matter. Okay. So many people in life go, I just don't matter. Yes, you do. You matter. Okay. I love this quote. Nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. Nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ, because no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. Okay. Because we're gifted to. Are we not? We're gifted to. I didn't bring my favorite bowling ball of all time. It's when I pick it up, it's a Puma. Some of these guys remember my Puma. It's made me so much money. Lots of perfect games. I mean, it was like it was made for me. I almost wanted to rename it Mike Baskets Ball. You know, Ebonite, changed it to Mike. It was just the coolest ball ever. And I didn't bring it on purpose, because I figured I'd get all emotional and probably take it to eat and all that stuff. But my point I would love for us to think about is, like I say, I told you I'm done, and that's the done part, is that that ball to me will always be with me. I'm not crying about the ball. I'm not crying about the ball. Well, it's just that it's such a part. It's such a part of memory, you know. And we talked about, I mean, Kelly, what a great job. What did the disciples think about? I mean, all these memories, what memories they have. But that particular ball just brings back all these memories. And it's not just the bowling, it's the friendships and the tournaments and the conversations and all that stuff. And I use that ball forever and ever and ever, it seems like, you know. It was the go-to ball. And we all have those people in our life, do we not? Those go-to people. Man, when I really need somebody, you know, or sometimes we say, well, I don't really have that person. We need to find those people, because we need that go-to person. And we always have this relationship, that go-to man, all right? Jesus is always there for us, and that's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody's in need today. We offer an invitation, and it simply is, you know, do you need the prayers of this congregation? Do you want to place membership? Karen and I, Hunter, Colby, and Hunter, and I don't know if Alyssa's going to do it or not, but I think we're going to place membership here. I think it'd be a good idea. But did I not say Curry? Oh, Curry does too. Good. I'm so glad. Did I not say your name? I'm sorry. What does that mean? Do you get hassled for it? It just means it helps us to know who wants to come to church here and do life with us and stuff. So if you're looking for a church home, you want to do that today, you're welcome to do that as well. We just want to be here for one another. And we've got more time to get. Is it 11:30? Is that correct? Woo! I did good. I was worried about my time. All right. We're doing